is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
Yeah, it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Uri.
Hi, Uri. It's Nicole.
It's time for Enlightenment in the City with El Hoshotara on the News for the Soul Network. El is a spiritual coach and intuitive reader with a unique flair. Strong yet soft, compassionate with a heart, she lives the consciousness of being feminine with strength. El tells it like it is. Welcome El Hoshotara back to News for the Soul.
Hi everybody, my name is El Hoshotara. I'm your host for this hour. You can call in to the show. Our lines are open, and that is 646-595-4274. That's area code 646-595-4274. And you can also go to our website. That's newsforthesoul.com, and you can find our information there. You can find the phone number, and that'll make it a little bit easier on you if you didn't have a pen. Oh, so we have the first person online. Great. It's 914, so area code 914. Hold on, and you'll be on the air in just a few moments here. So we're going to talk a little bit today about boundaries. Ooh, and the Holy Grail, the thing that separates interdependency, dependency, and independence, which, well, actually it would be codependency. That would be at the bottom of that. And it's actually interdependency, which is the highest. And there's a lot of interesting stuff right now that's going on. That's my little, if you've got kids and they were into the Weird Fairy Show, you might recognize that voice. It was, Cosmo. I think it was a fairy. His name was Cosmo. Anyways, the Weird Cosmo voice. I do that wonderfully. But it's this really interesting sort of dynamic that when you're holding boundaries, it's going to look very different from level to level. So at codependency, it tends to be, you know, whatever I do to you, you always have to love and forgive me. I shouldn't have to clean up my act. You should always love me no matter what, no matter what I do to you. It's never my fault. At independency, it's kind of like, well, fuck that shit. And it's like, I'm not going to do all that. And it's more self-responsible, but there's still kind of a fear about getting involved with other people based on being burnt usually by codependency. And then there's interdependence, of course, which is I'm responsible for my behavior. I'm responsible for my life. You're responsible for your life. You're responsible for your behaviors. And sometimes in codependency and independence, they kind of get scared of the interdependency level because they're like, shit, if I'm not perfect, I'm going to get burnt or rejected or, you know, nothing's going to work out properly. And that's actually not true. Life is actually easiest in interdependency, and it's actually hardest in codependency. And the reason that I'm bringing this up right now is because there's a lot of nonsense out there right now that's really going on about how you really need to take a bunch of bullshit, like a lot of it. And, you know, it's kind of funny because even the people that are demanding that you take the bullshit don't really want to take bullshit themselves. It's really interesting, this dynamic. Why? Because everybody gets hurt by bullshit. Everybody goes, what a wonderful life when it's bullshit free. And this is including even for the people that bullshit or pull a lot of crap and always expect everybody should forgive them. Now, we see this thing online a lot where people are trying to, you know, some people are coming from their hearts. They don't understand it, but they think it's a good thing, you know, to recognize it as trauma. And in some cases, that is true. Sometimes, you know, codependency does come from trauma or from families where traumatic acts tend to be more youth are going to be more in codependent environments. But you can have somebody who's been very traumatized in the past who's actually very responsible, and they're not going to pull a load of crap on you. And then there are people who've been traumatized even a little bit. You know, I mean, it's tough when the hamster dies. I lost my hamster Fluffy. She was so sweet. I understand it's tough when the hamster dies, but it's not an excuse to go out rip-roaring and being a right real freaking nightmare on people. And some people tend to not understand that. Some people use these patterns even though they haven't been traumatized. So when you're saying, you know, there's sort of like this idea out there that, you know, oh my God, it's trauma. You know, you kind of have to throw people a pity party for it. And no, and I'm saying this as somebody, you know, I went through a lot of stuff. I went through a lot of stuff that was, you know, not what everybody else went through or a lot of other people went through. And, you know, I don't pull that shit. So I'm speaking from first-hand experience because I see people who've not moved through it who really pull a lot of dark, a lot of it. They're abusive, they're toxic, and they expect it to be sort of like let go of or, you know, excused because of trauma. But trauma does not release responsibility. Okay, I really want to be clear about this. It's what keeps people in codependency. It's what keeps people stuck in codependency because the only way out of it is to become basically interdependent, which is I become whole, more whole. Every single day, I am responsible for my behavioral patterns. Other people are responsible for theirs, and including when we don't know what the frick is going on, then you go to talk to somebody who actually has a clue. And from that point, that is how we get resolution. And when people don't want that sort of thing, when they want to just, you know, be able to do whatever they want, other people should suck it up, you got codependency. And I'm talking about codependency and self-development. Some of this may overlap with psychiatric codependency. This is not intentional. There may be some overlapping there. I'm not a therapist. I'm not trying to be a therapist. This is not therapeutic advice. You want therapy, go see a therapist. but you can have the behavioral patterns of somebody who has been through a lot of trauma, and it's a coping mechanism without having been through the same trauma that the other person has been, because it can be very traumatizing to deal with people who have been traumatized. Even when they're trying their best, it could still be abusive or toxic. And when they're not trying their best, when they think they can let it all hang out, everybody should take a bunch of shit, then it's going to actually be extraordinarily abusive and toxic to you. And there needs to be that reality out there right now, because there's this really large chasm, this very large gap where people are missing this. And we're seeing things like people being shamed because, you know, how dare you? You can't leave him. It's your marriage. You know, just because he spent $150,000 of your money being irresponsible, how dare you leave him, because that could get resolved by therapy. Now, can that be resolved by therapy? Depending on what's going on, a lot more than people think, yes. Does that mean the person will go to therapy? No. Should you lose, and for some people, $150,000 is more than they have in their savings. For a lot of people, especially here in North America, for a lot of people, $150,000 is more than they have in their savings. And to tell anybody that they should, you know, have gone through that in the first place because somebody else doesn't want to be responsible is not okay. Like, let's be really clear about that. Never mind shaming them about that, because one of the things, and this is what everybody really needs to be in reality with, one of the reasons people change is because they've been told no. No, that's it, the N-word. No. Not the other N-word. That's a big kerfuffle up here in North America, but the word no. And people want to make that like it's, you know, a bad thing. But no is what protects you. It's what allows you to say no to bad behavior. It's what allows you to say no to abuse, to toxic behaviors, to sabotage. And it's also the thing that makes people sit up and go, hey, wait, this isn't working. And if they finally are willing to make the changes because they've gotten enough no's, then that's the time that people are going to change. Because if you're carrying somebody, and they think those behaviors are going to get them what they want. And this is one of the reasons why a lot of people use a lot of negative, toxic, abusive behaviors, is because they think that's how you get things. So people are insulting because they think, there was an article years ago that said, well, if you want to get hot with the chickies, guys, insult them. It'll show you're discerning. No, it shows you're toxic and abusive. And it's not going to work on healthy women, because that article was based on a book that was how to pick up strippers and hookers, which a lot of people don't realize. And they're missing that because you're taking an otherwise abused population, not all of them, but a lot of them, or other traumas, and you're picking on them. And that's how you pick up women with a lot of possible mental health issues or a lot of trauma or a lot of baggage, because you're picking on them and you're tearing away at what little self-esteem that they have. And that was the basis of it. So when people are doing that, you have to realize, you know, anything that is going towards that sort of hatred, that is tearing down or bullying, because that is another form that it takes, you got people who were doing that stuff because, even in other areas, because they think that's what it takes to get them what they want. And so when you're saying no to that stuff, number one, you're keeping it out of your life. Number two, you're keeping yourself away from years of drama, sabotage, excess, attack, abuse, emotional, and sometimes, you know, physical. That can be in there too. So you're keeping yourself away from all of that stuff, number one. But number two, you're also making sure that you're going to be treated properly and respectfully. So, you know, and you're helping them understand that, no, that's not going to work here. And, you know, I mean, hey, people write, oh, they've had success. You know, like, they finally got a chick who's going to fuck other chicks. you know, and if a woman's actually bisexual or actually gay and she wants that, then great, you know, then she can have healthy relationships with a beautiful, healthy man who is looking for that, because it actually works for them, in which both parties' rights are respected, as opposed to picking on people that do not want that relationship and tearing them down in order to get it. So, you know, and this is true for, like, everything. There's always, like, this positive way to do it, and there's a negative way to do it. And saying no either will help to steer people in the right direction that they actually need to be going, or it'll help them see that, hey, guess what? Those behaviors are actually not healthy for them. They're not actually healthy for them to use. They're not healthy for you to be involved in. Not that they mean to care about that at that level. Usually they don't, because they don't understand it enough. But then it becomes sort of like this guide. And the more that you allow yourself to have the happy, healthy, serving behaviors in your life, then the easier it actually is to live. And it actually helps the people that don't want to learn get into the place of learning a little bit more, or there's just one more sort of like nail, you know, in the board, until they're willing to get to the point of saying, hey, maybe they need to clean something up. Excuse me. And some people won't. They will not, you know, for the rest of their lives, they will be completely and absolutely abusive. That does exist. So this idea that you're not allowed to say no to that because somebody will not make the choice to, you know, go on a diet because toxins can cause irritated moods as well, because they don't want to be responsible. This idea that you're supposed to put up with that or have that in your life because they don't want to clean something up, that's codependency. So for interdependency, when people get scared of that, it's not always bad, because you're going to be human. You're going to make mistakes at some point in time. And it's not that you have to be perfect. Otherwise, you're going to lose everybody or everything. But at the different levels of codependency, independency, and interdependency, what those little mistakes are going to be very different. So the more that you go into codependency, those little mistakes can sometimes be actually quite abusive or toxic, and they can actually be life-ruining. They can be life-wrecking for you when other people make them. The damage on you can be so much, it can be extraordinarily detrimental and abusive and toxic for you to be around people who are in, you know, extreme amounts of codependency where they're very toxic. That can be abusive for you to be in. So it's actually just really not good for you. And people have a choice all the way along the levels. People have a choice about what actions they're going to take in their life. And the only way up, quite frankly, is you have to do more and more serving behaviors. Everybody on the planet does. It's just that the people that understand that are the ones that are interdependent and they grow more. And the people who don't understand that will usually have their life tanked down through codependency and abuse. So it's actually really fascinating, but no, no is a beautiful word. And I want everybody to be comfortable saying that, just no, because it's absolutely, absolutely, absolutely a good thing. So we've got, let's see here. We've got, so we do have the open lines. Again, go to our website. It's newsforthesoul.com. You can check us out there. And we have 914. You're on the air with Elhoy Shatara.
Been quiet.
Hello. Hi.
Hi. How are you? It's Catherine. How are you?
Hi, Catherine. I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. Good. Thank you. Good. I really loved and connected with everything you were saying about the interdependence and the codependence. That was so right on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And what can we? And what can we do for you today?
I have a new. A collaboration with two new gentlemen,
okay.
Brand new gentlemen. One is Carl and one is Evan, their partners. And
okay,
we're in discussion to work together. And I was just wondering what you're seeing around it.
Okay. Can I ask what the project
mm-hmm.
is about?
They're creative, artistic projects. It may be more than one.
Okay, so here, one moment. Okay, so you and Evan have the same problem in which you pick people that you're both still kind of working on who's going to be problematic for you to deal with. So you and Evan kind of have a similar problem, and his similar problem is Carl. Carl, not really going to take direction very well. Evan, and you know this one well, is going to spend time trying to, you know, chase after Carl, trying to make Carl behave. You're not going to be getting a lot of sympathy from Evan, because what's going to happen is guys tend to deal with it differently than women do. So guys tend to be, and this is kind of mean, I'm not sure of the statistics I read recently, but I'm not sure how much you trust this guy, but let's say for a minute, say it's true. A large portion of the population is actually going to be the type where they just don't want to deal with drama. And mm-hmm. by drama, I put in quotations drama, which is they just don't like dealing with things. And they kind of call things drama if they're having to deal with upset. So Evan is going to be the type where he's not going to really take issues that you have seriously. And he's going to be kind of like, he just doesn't want to deal with it. This can also be, you know, a male thing sometimes. You know, some men are better about it than others, of course. But some guys really don't like being with emotions, and it just becomes, they kind of get a little bit snotty about it. Like, just, you know, you should be able to deal with it. It's not that big of a deal. You know, he's trying to chase after Carl. You know, he can get some things under control. The problem I have with being reliant on somebody to keep somebody else under control, it doesn't usually work that well, as you probably already know. And that's kind of the situation that you're facing. So, I mean, you know, Evan doesn't seem like a bad guy. I really want to be clear about that. But, you know, when somebody's in that position, it becomes very hard for them to let go of the people that are going to be causing them problems.
I see.
And they tend to pick them again and again, either because they have love in their hearts and they don't want to say goodbye because they think it's mean. You know, they want to rescue because that's what they think it means to be a good person. So you're going to kind of have this, you're going to have the double load, potential, possibly, like not a complete double load. But you are going to have at least a little bit of susceptibility with that, where you're not going to know who Evan's going to be bringing in. You're going to be doing what you're already doing, plus a little bit more of Evan's.
I just because you were talking about the interdependency and codependent and everything. Are these experiences like with these gentlemen and other ones that I've talked to you in the past about, like just to kind of push and say like do it by yourself? Me be in charge.
Well,
you know what I mean?
No, do you want to clarify that for me?
Yeah, like am I like too excited to work with them, therefore kind of like releasing my own inner power? So, you know what I mean?
Well, you're excited to work with him, and I think that's great because you got a lovely little spirit. I mean, you really have this cute little kick and pep, and it's wonderful. Like, you're excited about things, but you definitely have a tendency. You do have a tendency to rescue.
I see.
So interdependency would be, I understand that you have value for me. I understand I have value for you. we're going to choose to work together because you're at the level that I need, so it makes sense for me to work with you. Whereas codependency, and again, this is self-development terms, this is not psychiatric, but in codependency terms for self-development, it's like, I can save you, I can help you, you're going to make the changes, everything's going to be okay, even though you're not right for the job or you're not a fit for the job, I can convince you to do it, I can give you the skills. And when you're having to save, you're having to save because they don't have the skills yet.
I see. Oh, wow. That was crystal clear. So eloquent. Wow.
Thank you. So, you know, and it's good that you want to teach because, you know, usually when I see people, you know, in your position, they understand what it's like not to have, know how to do certain things. Like in your case, how to pick people that are going to be good for you to work with. And they can understand that flavor, so they tend to want to teach and help a lot. And it's very good to understand that. But what's sometimes missing is that a lot of the people, people that are interested in learning will kind of like already learn and they'll have more of the skill set built up. And that's why you see people who are looking for other people at their level. But if you understand that people need to be taught, which I do and which you do, there can be a gap there sometimes that seems like it's kind of mean that you don't help and teach people when obviously that's missing and that's what they need. It's just that there are,
right.
So the distinction is there are times and places to teach, but that's not going to be in a place where you need a co-creator to the degree that you need them to be able to do the job. So if you've got somebody who's otherwise equal to you, but they don't know a new computer program and you want to teach them, totally different thing than somebody who doesn't know how to do the job is not responsible and you think that you're going to be able to get them in shape by teaching them.
I see. Wow.
Because, you know, them being responsible, they need to come in with that. They need to come to you already being responsible. Because responsibility, there are so many different things in there. You're not going to be able to teach that in a fast enough time frame to have somebody be reliable to work with.
I see. Wow. Thank you. Yeah, I'm totally picking up on what you're saying. I've known them a very short time, and it already makes sense what you're saying the way they are. Yeah.
So what I would like you to do is when you're taking on projects, I want you to make a must-have and a deal-breaker list. And I want you to put the things on that if you had your ideal person would be your absolute must-have and your absolute deal-breakers. And those are the things that you need to stick to every single time.
That's such a good idea. Yes. Wow. Oh, you're amazing.
Thank you.
Truly. No, thank you. Truly. But, yeah. Wow. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Is there anything else I can help you with today?
No, that was basically it. Yeah, I got excited and I saw it was Thursday and you were on and I was like, I have to call in.
Yay! Well, I'm always happy to hear from you. Always.
Oh, thank you. Yes, you truly are a star. Yes. So enlightened.
Well, thank you. Okay, Catherine. Well, it was good talking to you again and call back next time, okay?
Thank you. God bless you. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Aww. Okay, so we're going to do, let's see, we've got Maria in New York, and she's thinking of pursuing a creative venture, which would mean cutting back her hours at her place of work. Do I see this working out financially? So one moment here, Maria in New York. Sorry, we're doing mailbag, just in case the switch wasn't clear. You can call into the show again. You can go to our website. That's newsforthesoul.com, and you can find us there. So let's see, Maria in New York. Yeah, I'm seeing you getting about, Maria, I am seeing you get about, hold on here. Just one moment. Okay, so I see you making about an extra $1,000 a month by pursuing the creative venture versus by being full-time at your place of work. So that actually looks like a good thing. So, you know, I mean, $1,000 a month more is good. Let's see here. Okay, so it's, let's see, hold on. Is it fulfilling? So I see you with your creative venture, I actually see you being able to get up to about $15,000 a month. So, you know, nice little penny there. The reason why I kept checking into it, though, is that it doesn't... It's sort of like if I see you at work, there's sort of like more of a solidness there, and there seems to be some more energy, which seems a little bit happier. But the problem, obviously, you know, it's going to be a lot less financially, whereas, you know, I'm getting you a lot more by pursuing the creative venture. But it's just one of those things where there's not a lot of life force to it. So it's kind of like the money's there, but it's kind of empty, and it's kind of like watching somebody walk sort of a path. So it doesn't feel the most appealing. It doesn't look the most appealing, but the money's really going to come out. So, you know, for the $15,000 a month, I'm just saying that there are other things that you could do to help fulfill yourself. And there are also other avenues that you could take as a result of this venture, which it would increase you to $20,000 a month, $25,000 a month. And I keep seeing that climbing. So again, you know, it is your decision, because one of the things is like when we do see the empty path, I mean, none of this is a guarantee, because number one, you still got to do the work. You still got to do, you know, the right work in the right moment. So none of this is ever a guarantee. Especially if it's like very empty feeling, it's very hard for a lot of people to keep the momentum going when there's that kind of emptiness there. It's hard for people to make the momentum on change when it's something that they want to do, never mind when they don't want to do it. So, you know, all those things are things to consider, but I do seeing that you can take a different path off of this venture, and that would bring you in even more money, and that would be more solid. But you're going to have to figure out a way to make it so that you are feeling more fulfilled, I would say, in order to feel like this is going to be a better decision for you. Because financially, absolutely, it's a better decision for you. But that's, again, provided that you're actually going to do the work. Because if you're not going to do the work while feeling like that, then that may not be your best financial decision. So that is really something that you're going to have to work out for yourself. So really, really up to you. You know, I know that there's a lot of other things that you can do with more money to fulfill yourself. And once you learn the skill set in one area, there are other ways that you can learn how to take that business venture out there and change it, or use the skill set to do a different project in order to really gain that fulfillment. I mean, those are all options, but I also understand not everybody realizes that or will use it to do that. So it's really up to you. And what you're going to want to do. So best of luck with that. Thank you for writing in. We have Sheila M., and she would like to hear what spirit sees for her today. So one moment here for Sheila M. Okay, so Sheila, you're doing what a lot of us are doing right now, which is having a hard time figuring out what you're supposed to talk to and what you're not supposed to talk to. So this is right now, there's a lot of changes happening. So things don't look the same as it was. It used to be, you know, pretty easy, right? Like you just go up there and you read and it's like, ah, and there's no things that you shouldn't talk to up there, obviously, but you know, they would be more accurate, or, you know, not everything was crystal clear, but now it's just like an absolute mess. So I'm getting, you are like sorting, you know, should I be talking to this? Should I be talking to that? Or you should be sorting more than you should be, both. So it's really about, yeah, keeping on doing the sorting, being very clear about that, what you're talking to, you know, so that's good that you're already doing it. But being called to do it more, let's see. Yeah, because some of the icky ones are telling you to be more open, and it's got kind of a sneer to it. You're not going to want to do that. Let's see here. Yeah, okay, so it's also normal sometimes when people want to make connection, they really push that connection, like, oh, I will push it, I will make the oh sound come out of my mouth, oh, and this is going to get me the beauty, you know, I deserve, and oh, I'm going to talk to you, the good ones, oh, but it's actually listening and knowing who you're talking to, and that will actually help you to be able to do it. So it's not just manifestation. It's also about listening to the ones that you're talking to and hearing. And unfortunately, sweetheart, you need better boundaries, because you go into listening mode, and this is probably going to be one of the reasons why you're avoiding listening a little bit and sort of like going more into manifestation mode, because when you go into listening mode, boom, they get you. So you really need to have the boundaries up. Sorry, that was quite dramatic, wasn't it? You need to have the boundaries up because of what's trying to get inside you. And when you're in the listening mode, you're kind of going into receptive mode, and you don't need to go into receptive mode immediately until you know what it is that you're dealing with. Now, ideally, you know, we could just see something positive, or we could go into receptive mode and not get infected. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. So when you're going into receptive mode, when you should be going into listening mode, you're actually getting infected by some of these things. And what I mean by listening mode as opposed to receptive mode, listening is just, okay, I'm paying attention, this thing's talking to me, and you're ascertaining whether this is beneficial or whether it's something that you need to stay away from. Receptive mode is, come on in, fellas, and boom, they all sort of like, you know, come into your house, and don't worry, I have the guards up. My phone actually did it for you. Woohoo. Because I'm just going to send those to the creator's link, because you don't need those. Because what's basically happening is you're going to into receiving mode, and you're just letting them all right in. And there is a buffer to that. Again, that's the listening, so that you can ascertain. I know sometimes it feels like you can sort of like blow things, by not listening right away. And there are times when things will pass you by from that. So it's not an easy thing to sort out, but neither is getting infected all the time. So that really is something that you need to be looking at, because you do have a very strong receptive ability, which is really good. So you don't, you know, I'm not seeing like somebody who really has to worry about being receptive. I know it's not always going to be 100%, so maybe you're a little bit worried about it, but you have strong receptive mode. That's actually the reason why you keep getting infected by things. Things are jumping into you that shouldn't be there. It's because you have such strong receptivity. So even though it's not 100% perfect, it is there. Zero question of that. You definitely got receptive ability. Going to have to take a little bit of a closer look at what's going to be good for you to be receptive to. And just because you call it does not automatically mean that you should be receptive to it. And part of you understands that, because when you are in calling mode, when you're in the oh mode, you're actually blocking a lot of these things that you're manifesting. So it's kind of like calling somebody over, but you're not inviting them in the house. And you're doing that naturally whenever you're doing the manifestation for the calling. So you do have protective abilities in there. I really want to be clear about that. You just have to learn how to maybe use them a little bit different. So, you know, when you're doing calling, when you're manifesting, I'm saying calling because you're kind of like, ah! And it's like they all come running. Well, not all of them, but a lot come running. So you have the ability to call spirit, but it's I'm just getting a reminder, this is not a hog calling contest. Sorry, sweetheart. No insult intended. But just remind her that it's not like sort of like, you know, you're not just trying to, you know, you're not trying to call the dogs and get all the neighborhood dogs in there. You're sort of like wanting to call the lovely one, you know, your special, the special dog, the wonderful dog. That's the one you're trying to call. You're trying to call the good ones. But because you have that ability and are maybe, you know, needing to be a little bit more discerning about it, it's sort of like you're calling all the dogs in the neighborhood. Regardless of how they show up, you know, so you got the one eye, the dog with the one eye, kind of a little twitchy, and, you know, maybe got some other issues going on there. And those, you know, and those dogs, you can offer love to them or you may be able to help them, but that's, you don't want to call the ones that are sort of like just have trouble but need help, but you need to send them somewhere else or you know how to help them. Versus what you're actually trying to manifest versus the ones that you really don't want because they're sort of getting roped into the, you know, the grand call and you've got a bunch of the mangy ones with their hackles raised, you know, come snarling at the door. So you really need to be, you know, more discerning about that. When you're helping and you're offering to help spirits, you do have to be very aware that there's a lot of them out there and they will come running for like lines miles long. So that is something, if you're actually trying to manifest something positive or you're trying to advance yourself, that is something that you need to be aware of. So thank you so much, you know, because I think that's a really good example of boundaries and using gift in a way that's going to be more appropriate. Sometimes people don't like, quote unquote, lessening the gift because they think lessening the gift means lessening the gift. That's why it's called lessening the gift. And it's not lessening the gift, it's being discerning with it. So it's in discerning about who you want to help, who you have the capability to help, because a lot of people don't have that ability to help, you know, the hackles raised dogs that are snarling. So you really don't want to call them in. If, you know, if they're jumping in, if you don't have a way to get rid of them, because a lot of people don't, they get stuck. That's very common. You know, that's not something you also want to be calling in. That's something you're going to want to stay away from. I kind of feel like you feel like you can handle it. But if you could handle it, just a suggestion, you wouldn't be inviting them into your house in the first place. Just something to keep in mind and to take a look at. But yeah, you do have strong abilities to protect yourself. So, you know, you just might want to take a look at how you want to do that and sort of look at, I'm seeing there's a little bit of an issue with that for you about wanting to give up the things that you're calling, you know, because sometimes people think that means that they're all powerful. For this ability to have the great, you know, calling. But I mean, a lot of those things are very desperate and they're going to latch onto anything. So it's not always a sign of advancement just because you can call on a lot of those things. And we've all, you know, had experiences where we should have said no to something or somebody. And that holds true in the spirit world as well. So I'm seeing a little bit of stubbornness on your part about that. Yeah, so a little bit of stubbornness there because you're getting influenced by something else. It's a female, negative energy, negative entity, who's really trying to make it good that you call in bad spirits and you should be able to help them. So, you know, it's like somebody who, you know, is really bent on, you know, destructive people are good for you. You've got to look at the fact that that's what you're sort of, you're being influenced by. So that is something that I would suggest that you cut the cords on. She is nasty. Ooh, she's trying to get in my phone. She is vicious. And you do have cords and you do have attachments to her. I cannot break those for you. I'm not allowed. It's like, okay, go cut those cords. And it's like, nope, those cords are there. And like, she's nasty. She's getting in my phone and everything else. And so, you know, that's, you're dealing with a lot more than you think. And the ego, it's not really, quote unquote, enlightened to be getting yourself run over by a bunch of things which you don't understand. Mastery is you understand it. Until you understand it, you take the things that you did not understand and you send them to the places where they're going to be more appropriate, or you leave them and you do the mastery on the things that you can do mastery of. That is more mastery because it is actually more knowledge to understand the places you do not have knowledge on. It's always the beginner that thinks they know everything. So just something to keep in mind with that, that you do have the right to say no. It's beneficial for you to say no, and being willing to say no to things because you're refusing to be infected by them because you don't know how to handle those energies yet is actually a sign of advancement. Now, if you want to go train on how to deal with those entities, then that's a whole different ballgame. You can go do that. But right now, you're getting affected, you're getting influenced, and you're getting influenced and affected by things that are really, really super nasty. So if you're wondering if I'm being a little bit harsh here, it's because you got those energies that are around you, and I'm kind of talking to them, kind of talking to you, but really trying to get through that cloud, because there's a very, very strong cloud of misinformation that is really strongly around you. So I'm talking firm, and we're being firm here, because little Miss Nasty there, you know, she's really got this stuff, and you really need to be watching out for that. It's kind of like watching somebody be convinced that, you know, just because he put the last three women that he dated in the hospital, you know, she should be fine dating him. And we're kind of looking at the energetic version of that, not that she's going to put you in the hospital, but she's fucking nasty. So just to be aware of that. So thank you so much, Sheila. And I'm just going to hop on. Ooh, she's a biggie. So we're just going to bubble up her and... Yeah, I can't even push her through. Great. Oh, I love doing this job sometimes. Now I got a big old nasty entity in my living room in a bubble. Okay, so, okay. So she's gone off me, and good luck with that. So Audrey New Zealand wants to know if I see her latest job interview coming through and her getting the job. Okay, one moment here. Okay, Audrey, we just... on here. Okay, there we go. Oh, keep the energy straight. Okay, so Audrey in New Zealand, you are fine now. You are safe, so don't have to worry about that nasty energy. Let's see, latest job interview coming through. Okay. Actually, not supposed to do that one. Okay, so Audrey, good luck with that. Let's see. So everybody is safe, just so you're in the mailbag. I see some concerns coming out for that. You are safe. So don't worry about that. Let's see. We've got Paul in Boston wants a reading about our online relationship. Even though things are a little more open right now, he still has excuses about meeting in person every time she tries to schedule something. Are they safe who they say they are? So one moment here. Okay. Oh, one moment. One moment. Oh, yeah, he's got another woman, honey. Yep. Yeah, anytime you get the excuses about meeting in person, just drop them. Just drop them, drop them, drop them, drop them. Yeah, it's fishy. You're going to save yourself a lot of time and suffering. Basically, most people understand that when they start making excuses online, it's going to look pretty shady. If they don't understand that, they're probably not going to be where you need them to be at anyways. And if they are and they do understand it, then they're usually up to something shady. So, you know, while sometimes things do come up and people do have to, you know, understand that responsible people aren't dating. They take their profiles down when they're in busy spaces, and people who aren't don't, and there can be a lot of drama, and you're never going to know whether they're actually being truthful and just busy or whether they're just full of drama. So you're usually better off to just skip it, because the ones that understand that, which is going to be more what you're going to want or need anyways, they're more likely to just not pull that stuff. So it's usually just safe to drop it, and I would suggest you, he's seeing other women. So good luck. I'm sorry. I wish I had better news for you. Yeah, he's just hoping for a little bit of fun there. And... he's trying to conquer somebody else right now. He's being well-behaved with her. and just trying to get some from you. So, yeah, so you're just kind of, he's stuck on somebody else, but he's willing to stick you, point blank and simple. So good riddance, sweetie. Thank you for writing in. I hope that helps. I'm sorry, I wish I had better news. Ben in the UK wants a reading on a legal challenge he's currently going through. Will it end soon and in a favorable way? So one moment here, Ben in the UK. So Ben, that's kind of dependent on you. Let's see here. So Ben, this is the time for discipline for you. Here's the thing, when we lack discipline, quite frankly, it breaks trust. It just breaks trust. And men tend to hate that. It doesn't change anything, sweetie pie. So basically, when you're sitting in there with polite and say grumpy face, when you're going in there and you're dealing with grumpy face, you are breaking trust, because as soon as you do that, you look like the one who's going to be the pain in the tushy. And I know it's not fair that, you know, for people who are more spirited, sometimes you can get the short end of the stick, because if you're more emotional and you're showing that emotion, you're showing your annoyance, you look like you're the one that's automatically wrong. And some people really ride on that. So the other side is really riding on that, sort of like being calm and not being riled. So you are breaking trust, buddy, because it basically looks like the other side should win. Just based on going on face alone, you're kind of showing that you're in the wrong, even if you're not. So, let's see here. It's not going to end as favorably as you want, as opposed to soon. You have to let go of the upset and any sort of like outbursts, including facial ones or stink face. You got to let go of grumpy face, buddy, because basically that's going to hold things up a lot longer. Interesting. Okay. We'll end things sooner if you get rid of grumpy face, but then the other side gets 10% more. So I can't believe I'm going to say this. Don't do this outside of this, please. But apparently right now, stink face, grumpy face is working in your favor, Ben. Never thought I would see the day where that would be true. Please, everybody else, avoid doing grumpy face, because it's usually not going to work for you. But right now, Ben, it's actually working for you. Let's see here. So will it end soon? So it kind of depends on what odds you're going to want. Grumpy face will get you more, but it's going to draw out a lot longer. Calming down will have things end sooner, but it's going to be a little bit more favorable in the other person's way. So you got a decision about what you want more. Do you want to end it sooner, or do you want more? Do you want it ended sooner? Calm down, let go grumpy face. If you want to get more, it's going to be drawn out, and, you know, then kind of just keep doing what you're doing. You kind of have to be careful with that, though, the grumpy face, because I'm seeing a bad mood. You want to be really careful about using that in the rest of your life for purposes of attainment. That will burn you. Just to be clear, that could actually be one of the reasons why you ended up in the situation in the first place. Nope, not on this one. Okay, so you got lucky. It didn't create this. but usually walking around with grumpy face or using mood or grumpiness in order to sort of like attain things will usually attract unserving people. And it's usually the people that are going to burn you that are more likely to put up with that. So I'd really suggest working on that. But it doesn't seem to be hurting you in this court case. You got lucky. So yeah, up to you. I wish I could tell you more on that, but it's really your decision about how you're going to play it and what's going to work for you. So thank you, everybody, so much for joining me for this hour here on newsforthesoul.com. My name is Elha Shatara, here every single week, 3 p.m. PST, New York and Chicago. That's your rush hour. I do readings. I do coaching. Come for the coaching. It's beautiful. Thank you so much, everybody. You can find my information at www.enlightenmentinthecity.com. I love you. Please take care of yourselves and carry on, carry on. And remember, this is the time of growth. So really good time to take those sorts of things on. So thank you so much, everybody. I love you. I'll talk to you in 1 week. Again, that's 3 p.m. PST, New York and Chicago. That's your rush hour. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network. Call into live News for the Soul shows daily for intuitive coaching, readings, numerology, leading edge health information, and much, much more with featured hosts from around the world. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show now. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Breathe.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to News for the Soul. This is Daniel Brinkley.
Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
From the heart of Vancouver, what a great place to bring News for the Soul.
I know, isn't it perfect? Remember that movie Dead Zone, Christopher Walken?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like it was like that for real.
I think reasonably accurate, too, honey.
Oh, that's an understatement, honey.
Okay, everybody, take a deep breath. We know that we choose to come to this world, and we're chosen to come to this world, and we've come for breath. We breathe in for ourselves and out for spiritual unfoldment. And as we breathe these moments, let's open up our hearts and open up our souls, and let the true awareness of News for the Soul make its impact now and forever.
Well, Daniel just mentioned the heart attack. That is how he died, isn't it?
Yes.
Wow.
Actually, two heart attacks, one right after the other.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Wow.
No, I had him. I have him.
You know, the whole thing about the spirituality and the wealth or sustainability not going together, I just think is the biggest load of crap, you know? I mean, what have you got?
Look at this girl.
Well, really, what have you got to give anyone if you've got nothing?
Buckle your seatbelt, Dorothy, because Candace is going bye-bye.
Yes, I had this really bizarre experience where I got sucked through a wall, like a solid wall.
During the time that I was knocked unconscious, an angel came to me.
People's solidity began to morph with the geometries. So you'd see little bits of their hand began to go missing.
And this particular angel, as I recount in the book, said to me that I had chosen the wrong path in life, that I was to choose a new path, and it was to be a path of peace. I was to teach peace.
Lots of amazing things coming up for this hour. News for the Soul. Sifa, back in 1 minute.
I'd have to believe that the times that we're in are very important to us mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Because if we're not really, really careful in paying and complimenting News for the Soul, we're about to find ourselves wrapped up in something that will literally encompass the world.
Yeah.
And not from the viewpoint that we're looking at it from. And
so tonight, it is an empowerment, a place to become aware, a place to change, a place to not become fear-based, but become loving.
We
need to do that. I don't care if it's prayer. I don't care if it's conversation. I don't care what it is. But the one thing that people need to do is hold themselves accountable for their reactions and for the manner in which they interpret the nature of the crisis that is now at work on this planet.
The experiments that were done between 90, 95, 98, and what they're telling us, Nicole, first of all, is they are confirming beyond any shadow of a doubt that we communicate with our world through a previously unrecognized form of energy. I'm not going to say it's new. It appears to have been there for a long time, but it's never been recognized. This form of energy works beyond the bounds of space and time. Information moves through this field of energy faster than the principles of light say that it should. This is one of the mysteries. So,
breathe. Let's let this night and what news for the soul is about, like we always say, it's news for the soul. It's not for the conscious as much as it is for the true spiritual side of us that drives the nature of our lives, that makes us seek understanding and yearn to be closer and closer to what is true reality.
This is a telephone call where I'm speaking with the mother of a 23-month-year-old child. At the beginning of the clip, you hear the mother talking, you hear me laugh, then you hear the baby go goo goo gaga. Let's listen together.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
And we're back. Next up, one of our newer hosts and shows on the News for the Soul radio network, Connected Living with Brenda Davis-Matz, who's here. Let's bring her on to reintroduce herself.
There we go. Great. Hi, Nicole. Hi, everyone. Just checking. Can you hear me okay, Nicole?
Perfectly.
Okay, wonderful. I've got a little bit of an echo on my end, so we'll see how it goes. Okay, so hi, everyone. Welcome. My name is Brenda Davis-Matz. I'm an energy intuitive. My spiritual name, I go by the name of Two Feathers. I'm a multidimensional shaman and light language channel, a Reiki master. I love essential oils, and I love being in the outdoors. So anyway, thank you so much for being here wherever you are in the world. And whatever time it is in your neck of the woods, my heart is open to you. Thank you for being here and joining me. So a little bit of a recap on the last show. It was actually my first pre-recorded show here, which I really enjoyed doing, and it's one of my favorite. I mean, being an energy healer, right? Frequency and vibration, and it was such an interesting vibe actually doing the pre-recorded show. So obviously, you know, I did have some questions on some things, but if you have some other questions you would like to bring in tonight's show, please feel free to write in, call in, however you want to connect, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have. And the interesting thing about frequency and vibration is that it really is an awesome leader into where we are in tonight's show, which is about abundance. And speaking of abundance, I actually have a fun announcement that I will announce at the end of the show with those other fun topic type announcements. But anyway, in the meantime, abundance. And what does that mean for you? How do you work with it? Abundance on a collective level, a spiritual level. And so we'll be getting into some of these topics tonight about how we operate and understand and connect to abundance. And it sounds like my phone is acting a little funny here. But anyway, we'll keep going.
It's sounding just fine.
All right. Super. Thank you, Nicole. Okay, so really the definition of abundance, and I like the spiritual definition personally, it simply means having more than enough of everything you want all the time. And the spiritual meaning of it is that your higher self, and that which you really are is intricately connected to the abundant universe, which is the source of everything you desire. So think about that for a moment. And you've heard me in the past say you are a universe in and of yourself. You are an abundant universe in and of yourself. Now, how do you apply that? How do you bring that into your physical nature and physical understanding? And typically, when you talk to someone, and you may feel this yourself, when you think of abundance, how do you apply that to yourself? A lot of people instantly think of wealth, or, you know, abundance is something that you want to do, whether it's, you know, a fun excursion, adventure, or something health-related, or, you know, something that you get to do a lot of on your own time. Maybe time is what you would like to have as abundant. And whatever that is for you, whatever that means for you, take a moment to really step into the process of understanding your own abundance. And how it affects you personally. And so the opposite of abundance is scarcity and or lack. So where do you feel you're lacking? And do you feel that that is an abundant lack? And it might be financially, mentally, emotionally, physically, you know, whatever that is for you. You may also look at it as scarcity in the world. You might have, you know, kind of a bigger picture, a higher picture of that. So whatever that is for you, remember, and I'm going to go back to the previous show, A Frequency and Vibration. You will attract what you fear, and what you focus on is really where the energy grows and abundance lies. So pick something you would like in your own personal space. Look at something in your own world that you would like to be more abundant. And just hold that for a moment. Hold that feeling, that frequency and vibration, that feeling, that whatever resonates to you in that feeling. Does it feel good? Does it feel bad? You may feel it in a certain part of your body. Where do you feel that? Now, does it feel good? If it feels good, let's expand that for a moment. Let's take it and expand it. And how you expand it, you just begin to think broader of it. Something that you want in your life, something you want to create, to be abundant in. Now you hold that for a moment, and those of you that may have picked something that feels not so good, like, you know, an abundance of pain or something like that, you may actually be looking at it in the flipped version. We often have sort of that negative, like if you were looking at a photo negative, you know, like if you take a picture, the negative of the picture is the flipped version. And actually many times intuitively when I'm reading somebody, it will actually flip that picture where I'm, you know, feeling it on one side of my body, which is related to the opposite side of the person's body. And it's just like this interesting mechanism, and that's sort of intuitive. So for me personally, but that may be the same for you, and it might be this negative that you're looking at, which if we just work with the perspective and the perception, you'll bring it back into something that is in a positive state or in a growth state where you can grow it. So whatever that is, whether it feels expansive or contracted, bring that into your awareness and allow your personal guidance system, your higher self, to step in and grow that space to a positive, comfortable level. And if you're trying to create something, say, for instance, wealth. Allow yourself to hold the picture of what it is that you're trying to create and step aside from the ego. Just allow your authentic self to step forward. Hold the image that you have and expand it. Now, what I love about this is that anytime you're doing this, you are creating, you're manifesting. You know, you're vibing it into being. And if you focus on it long enough, it's just going to happen. At the same time, having said that, manifestation 101, you just put it out to the universe, you're going to get it back. So, you know, those of us that like to really hang on to something, you know, stick it in your pipe and smoke it for a while, or, you know, just chew on it, just like hang on it. You know, yeah, you'll eventually get there, but sometimes you actually can create a block that keeps you from creating that which you want abundance in. So that's kind of a personal look at maybe what you want. Now, what's also interesting, the spiritual part of abundance is, it's deeper. It's, you know, connecting to your higher self. It is, it kind of links into the collective nature of abundance. But let's take a moment to look at our spiritual sense of self. So maybe you'd like to be more intuitive. Maybe, you know, that abundance of intuition or love, or let's say connection to others, you know, finding your tribe. Whatever that abundance is and looks to you on a spiritual level, again, it's the same practice. It's coming into the self, recognizing that which you seek in abundance, and then just allow it to be. And it will come into your space. You will begin to see it if you allow yourself, and this is where the work comes in, if you allow yourself to solely be authentic in your nature, abundance will arise every time. To be solely authentic in your nature, abundance will arrive every time. So, those of you who actually have questions about your own personal abundance, that sort of thing, I'm happy to take a look at that with you. If you'd like to call in, you can also write in, however you want to do it. I'm going to just sort of open it up to whatever you want to discuss with regards to abundance. And to, again, if you had any questions about frequency and vibration, which they really are all connected. Now let's take a look at collective abundance. And this is such a large topic, and, you know, the intuition that I was given, the intuitive promptings to do this show on abundance and to discuss it. One of the first things that my guides brought into my perspective, into the pictures, were the collective version. And there's so many of us that are divided when it comes to how we look at abundance collectively. We are divided. So if you're dividing something, you're actually creating an unsustainable sense of abundance. So whether it's, let's look at the scarcity of it. Let's say lack of water, lack of health and well-being, lack of, whatever comes to mind with regard to freedom. That actually just popped in. Choices. That kind of collective scarcity that we are all feeling. The duality is also another sense that is collectively abundant at the moment. So how do we navigate that? How do we move past or create abundance in a better environment, in a stronger environment, in a healthier environment? Well, it's to just recognize you're not ignoring the scarcity of things. But what you're doing is, because you are an abundant individual, you are a universe, an abundant universe in and of yourself, you are already there. But your perspective is holding you back from seeing that which you truly are. And to collectively connect into that unity consciousness that we have, we must first allow our authentic self to show. And it means kind of dropping your guard and connecting without a state of force. So you're not forcing a belief system, your belief system on someone else, or someone's belief system on you. It is a symbiotic flow of connectivity in the collective. It's a symbiotic flow of connectivity in the collective. And it's incredibly important for us that are seeking the unity consciousness that we're actually here to do. I mean, if you're listening to this, that's you. You're here for a reason. You're part of this betterment of society that's happening, and it is happening. No matter what the framework of your perception is, the frequency and vibration is booming at an all-time high, bringing us into full light. And that light is actually shining the shadow on what you may feel lack in. And there may be some personal work to do with that. You may have to work with the ego. You may have to seek a part of the self that you are not used to getting into, to that depth. So coming back into this understanding of unity consciousness, if we're going to be abundant in all things love and light, then you must first be the love and light. And so what's happening is that light shining, those shadows are being lit up so that we can go ahead and transmute that which no longer serves. I hope that's making sense. That feels like that was a pretty deep actual channel rather than speaking off the cuff. I wanted to go one direction, and I just felt like the information was taking me in another one. So I just went with it. But anyway, I hope that makes sense. Coming back into the perspective of manifestation and abundance, we talked a little bit about how your frequency and vibration affects that. So if you are, you can actually repel what it is you're trying to create, and create the opposite if your authentic self is not holding the picture from that authentic space. And forgive me for stumbling around. I feel like I've got this information that wants to come through, and I'm kind of battling it with my logical mind, reading my notes. So forgive me for that. But your frequency and vibration, when choosing what you'd like to be in abundant, it's something you need to be incredibly clear about. And if you feel you're blocking your own path, or if you feel that something external is blocking your path, come back to knowing that you are an abundant universe in and of yourself. So what is the perspective there that is instigating the scarcity of it? What is the perspective? Remember, it also goes into victimology. You are not a victim. So what role are you playing in keeping yourself from fully being who you are, who you're meant to be, what you're meant to experience? And also, just to reiterate, choosing to focus on something good, and I find this a lot with people lately, choosing to focus on something good in abundance doesn't mean you aren't acknowledging that which needs healing, support, or quote-unquote bad. By choosing something positive in your life, you're actually opening and expanding that creative vibration to transform the negative into positive. And while, yes, there are certain things that need to be taken care of, released, rectified, healed, and owned or become accountable to, just the fact of shifting your frequency and vibration into the level of abundance that supports you will help to transmute that energy, that quote-unquote bad energy. And there's really no bad energy. It's just our perspective of the duality of this world we live in, the school on this planet. There is no bad. It's perspective. And while I may get a lot of flack for having said that, based on your perspective, if you really take the higher road, you can't not see that. So if that is something that you are in question about, just know that if you're recognizing it and you're frustrated by it, great. That means you have something welling up inside that is going to take you to the next level. That's awesome. So good. That's one of those breadcrumbs on your trail of understanding yourself. So I would like to do a group focus here on collective abundance in the collective. And this is something I've been working with the Council of Light lately, and they are very insistent that the collective nature of things become more active. Like we are working with it more now than we ever have, whether we recognize that or not, but that it needs to be more in the forefront of our understanding so that we can attain and come into this unity consciousness completely and fully. And the energies are supporting us doing that, and it's beautiful that so many things are coming to light to be released and resolved so that we can hold this higher level, this higher state of being. And the Council of Light, which is an embodiment of 12, say that your natural abundance in the collective connects to, it connects us all to the collective. So let's take this moment, and actually, and this is, I'm kind of struggling with this tonight because I really feel this channel coming through, but let's go ahead and do this group focus. And this is the wording that they gave me as far as the group focus. So go ahead and bring yourself into your own space of awareness. And even if you're driving, this is fine. You can continue to drive. But it's just about perspective and acknowledgement of this perspective. So wherever you are in your moment, feel yourself join the collective. Recognize this unity that we have, this collective nature of all. We are all connected energetically. We are all one. So coming from this one perspective, let's hold the energy of love for a moment. And how does that look for you? You might have some imagery of, you might actually feel an open heart. You might feel the love. You might see kind of this this grid work around the planet, around the universe. This unification energy of light might expose itself to you. You might feel light. Whatever that is, your own unique nature of abundance in looking at something like love, like the perspective of love, the energy of love. And as we do that together, feel that expansion. It's bigger than us. It is bigger than our nature of who we are in this physical form. We're learning to operate from a higher place, our authentic place. And as we do that, our form changes. We become light. We become lighter. And many have begun noticing this, but there are many of us who are still working with that density of the third dimension. We're releasing those final bits and pieces that are anchoring us into this old paradigm. So collectively unified in the space and acknowledgement of love, feel that for a moment. And I feel this, the Council of Light coming in very strongly right now and projecting authentic love, authentic light, support, heart expansion. It feels really, really good. So if you'd like to express what you are feeling, I'm happy to I would love to hear from you. I'm also happy to work with you if you're feeling as though you feel contracted with that information on any level. So if you need to reach out, I'm here. Going back in, I really feel this major channel, and I've felt this for a while where there's going to be some information that I will be channeling in the future. And it is bigger than me, and I feel like I'm this in-between mouthpiece right now. So forgive me as I'm adjusting my frequency and vibration to hold this information on a level that is meant for you. So I'm struggling a little bit with my logical mind versus my channeling self. So, all right.
On that note, we do have a couple of requests for like reading. Is that something they can call in for?
I'm sorry, it was really scratchy there. What was?
We're having technical difficulties on our end. You were coming through fine, though, but did you want to take a caller?
I would love to.
Okay. Area code 201. I'm going to try to get you on 201, your first name, and where are you calling in from?
Hi, my name is Jackie. I'm calling from New Jersey.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Lady.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I actually, one of my very close friends, his name is Jackie, and I call her my Jersey girl because she also lives in New Jersey. So what can I do for you?
Sometimes I wonder if I should just run from Jersey. No, I'm not ready to run. Actually, I want to kind of stay rooted until I'm able to survive everything and retire comfortably. I recently spoke with some relatives who I've been disengaged from for about maybe 10 years, and they would like to come and visit me, and I really don't feel comfortable with it, especially now, because they've done a lot of things that I didn't like in the past.
Okay.
I just want to see if you could just give me a reading and tell me what you see.
I'm going to ask you first, there was a little bit of a lag in what you were saying about your relatives having been 10 years basically estranged.
Yes.
And then you cut out
yeah,
on
I
that
cut
part.
My,
and
I, I took myself away from them because of a lot of things that they were doing behind my back, dividing my family, a lot of gossiping, and I really don't want to see them. I just, you know, I gave my well wishes to someone that's in the hospital, but I don't want to see the people who's visiting. But I don't want to do it in a way where it looks like I'm being, you know, rude, but I don't trust them.
Okay. Well, awesome. You are right on time with the energy. And I'll say this because so many of us, and even me personally, are working with our family dynamics right now. We're healing old relationships, and we are coming into an atonement and attuning into our authentic frequency and vibration. So kind of in a big picture, you are perfect where you are. And this uncomfortable feeling coming up and that feeling of quote-unquote being rude or somehow disassociating yourself from them doesn't make you a bad person. It makes you you become aware of who you are, your energy, your nature, your design, and you're no longer stepping into the vibes that are uncomfortable or unsupportive. And there's nothing wrong with acknowledging that. I'll say that first and foremost. And it can feel, you know, we have these challenges coming up so that we can shine the light and deal with the shadows and move on. So this coming up in your life, hold gratitude for it in the sense that you are obviously at the level where it's time for you to go ahead and heal this history. It's no longer a mystery. It is your history. And you're releasing it. So you can acknowledge it, thank it for whatever lesson you feel that you've received in your life. Allow it to release. Now, I'm going to go a little step deeper here, but that is kind of the outskirts of the picture, the broader perspective. And I think others that are listening will also maybe find that beneficial for them as well. You are certainly not alone in this, on this journey of this magnitude. So
I've been in it for like 10 years. And right now, I know why they're concerned with coming here, because they're going to they will come out their way. And I'm like, why come out your way now? Because when I really needed them to be there for myself and my siblings, they were all creating strife.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And two, keep in mind and flip the perspective there. They may be trying to heal something in their own life where they feel that they have done you wrong, or they feel there's a need to heal something in their world, even if they may not quite be aware of it. It's coming together to release. And you are in the perfect space to hold the energy that you are. So take for a moment, just hold your space, and that whatever that picture comes up for you like, hold that picture. It can be a color, picture, symbol. Whatever resonates to you when I say hold your frequency and vibration in a bright light. And again, it can be a color, picture, symbol that comes to mind when I say that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's brighten it. Let's expand it. Notice how your energy field emanates a broader, more comfortable frequency and vibration that you are. You're actually emitting into the space around you, into the environment, your frequency and vibration. Just hold that space for a moment. And I do have a method to my madness here. So hold your space. Feel the circle around you, the circle of light. And again, expand it. Come out 10 feet if you can. And sometimes that's a little hard if you feel like you're driving in a car or something, but just feel that expansive energy. This is your field. This is your bubble. This is your natural navigation on a comfortable day. So taking the vibration of the resentment, the fear, and the pain of your history, that is not who you are in this moment. That is done. Wouldn't you agree? Like, you're done with that.
Exactly. That's why I said hi. We spoke over the phone, and I checked in on the aunt. And, you know, in the conversation with the aunt, you know, we talked about some lessons from the Bible, you know, certain chapters, because she's in the hospital. And then I spoke to her daughter and the cousins who are visiting. And these are the main ringleaders that keep things going. And to be honest with you, I wish them no harm, but I really don't want to let them back in my space because of all the pain.
You don't have to.
I'm trying not to.
And you also, this is not something you're going to be forced to do. Simply hold your space.
I also don't want to appear rude, and I'm going to tell you why. Or, you know, if you're done, I'll tell you why, because I could just bluntly say, look, I already texted them, let them know. Number one, I've been social distancing, and I don't have a problem with doing a drive-by. Toot-toot, hey, how you doing? And that's it, you know, or WhatsApp or FaceTime. Like, I am serious with that because I've been social distancing as much as I possibly can. Even if I go out to garden or whatever, the only person I'm really in direct contact with on a regular basis is just my immediate family, no one else. And I want to keep it that way.
Okay. So collectively, this is what you're doing for you. And that's great. But in order for us to collectively grow and move on, we have to do so in our truth. And I understand the feeling of finding a comfortable excuse. But the social distancing should not be a crutch. If you're doing it from an authentic place where you're saying, you know, I'm just not comfortable with this right now in my situation, and to say,
okay,
you don't even have to say anything about social distancing. You should just say, in my personal situation right now, you know, this is what I'm comfortable with. And you want to give credit to your own space. And instead of trying to accommodate others, utilize the scenario and situation to hold your space of authenticity. And if we're going to grow and create this unity consciousness that we are meant to step into, we have to do it from a place of that authentic nature. So hold your line, hold who you are, and acknowledge that. It's beautiful, and it deserves the space it deserves the platform to be who you are. You are a pillar in this society of love and light, and as such, you should be able to operate comfortably without feeling like you are bending any part of your truth to accommodate someone else's. Does that make sense? Did I lose you? Are you there, Jackie?
Hello.
Okay. Hello.
Hello.
Okay. There you are. There you are.
That was your end.
Sorry.
While you were talking, it told me to mute, but I actually still was here. So that's from your side of the console.
Technical issues, guys. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You didn't lose me, and I followed your logic. But could I ask you, are you able to tell me anything about my siblings who actually deal with, you know, who actually may come in contact with them.
How many siblings do you have?
I have four of the siblings.
Okay.
And you know, four in this country and one in another country.
Okay.
But they talk.
Okay. Simply put, this is an old paradigm that you are no longer a part of, and it functions in the 3D world. And I feel like there's two siblings that are closer to you in thought and mind and belief system than the others. And this is when you incarnated, when you came here to experience the life that you're living now, this was part of the lesson in life that you were going to, that you agreed upon. And I do feel like this, these contracts, I don't know if you're familiar with contracts, but there's contracts that you have with your siblings that each of you would agree to certain form and function within the relationship. And so if this is something that you are now ready to release, you can say to yourself, I release, extinguish, null and void any and all contracts that do not serve.
Null and void any contract did not serve.
Did not serve the highest.
The highest.
Love and light of all.
Love and light of all. Love and light of all.
Yes.
Wow.
And
it's,
so,
it's funny you would say that. Because one of them said that to me about some of us have these contracts that we make before we come to this earth. One of them actually said that to me today.
Today, wow. Okay, so there's your validation.
She believes that, but her mother is the dangerous one.
Well, this is the paradigms that we work through in the relationships we have in our life. So that's fine. Her mother can be completely the opposite of her.
Mm-hmm.
But still, the understanding of the nature of the organized, and it is an organized relationship. It's a pattern, yes, between you and your siblings and even the extended family. You know, there's that saying on the plane, you put your oxygen mask on first.
Mm-hmm.
By the work you're doing to hold your own space and your own frequency and vibration in the highest and most authentic space for yourself, you then create a space for ancestral healing, which is something very big right now.
Yes,
and
definitely.
You are actually helping to heal your family by holding your authentic nature. Does that make sense?
Yes. And I am trying to heal my family because the pain has been, it left me with a hole in my soul. Oh my God.
Yes.
And
a deep hole in your heart. Yes.
Yes. I'm trying to feel all those spaces with love and light and transfer it to my own children, because when it happened to me, it began to happen to each of my children in a way where we even have to rebuild our relationship and the soft, nurturing love that we have for one another. And these external family members don't realize what they did to us in our greatest need, because it was when my mother died. Now, right now, the only thing they're concerned with is what I'm doing with my mother's property and how I'm making it, and they have no idea. Source has been providing for me, and I just have, you know, a few things left to be done, and I ask the universe to expand and to equip me to do it, but I don't want any more interference from any negativity from no one at all.
Good. Good. So how you can create this abundant way of living is to simply acknowledge it. So when you speak, don't say what you don't want. Say what you are. What you are is a thriving individual surrounded by supportive people. I mean, you can word this any way you want that is comfortable for you, but do not use the words, I don't want, because the universe won't hear that. It'll only hear, I want.
I want.
So you want your words matter in how you ask for things and how you ask for whatever abundance that you want in your life. So whether you're trying to finish this chapter, and it is coming, I'm going to tell you, it is coming into completion.
Okay.
You are there, but the challenge right now is holding your frequency and vibration that you've worked so hard to get to. All the healing work that you've done, all of the pieces of yourself you've put back together, this is for you to acknowledge that space of the work that you've done and to hold your truth in this line of challenge. It's your final step to completion. And it doesn't mean you're rude if you're just saying that my space only has the capacity to hold this. So when you ask for something, when you're looking to do something, and you can write it on paper, you can state it verbally, but you want to be as creative with your words in the most constructive way possible, because your words matter. And you could say, one of the things I always say to myself when I'm, and I will do this many times throughout the day, every day, I bring all my energy back to me, and I release all other energy back to its source in love and light. I bring all my energy back to me, and I release all other energy back to its source in love and light. Yes.
And I release all the energy back to source with love and light? And,
yes.
Okay.
And so you can feel that. It's a pure connection to your request, to the universe, to source, to your higher self, to those around you that support you. It is a very clear connection to the energies that you want to have more of in your life. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, good. Does that help you?
Yes, it does. It definitely helps me.
Good.
I honestly believe in energy, and I believe in source, and I believe in manifestation and positive affirmation. Frequency, definitely. I believe that the frequency of other people can definitely affect you if you are not surrounded by love and light, and if you don't. You have to work on transmuting it. And like you said, words have power. Words matter. That's like, I want to get the don't. And, you know, the negative terminology is out of my vocabulary.
Good.
Remove the doubt. Because I have been paid in the past by doubt. I'm working on it every day. Every second that I can, or when I realize that doubt is creeping in, because it does creep in insidiously if you're not careful.
It does. But you can also say things like, I am safe to be seen. I am safe to be heard. I am safe to be me.
Okay.
And you can utilize affirmations put them on a sticky. Somewhere that you see it every day. I used to have a sticky when I was really going through my dark night of the soul. I had a yellow sticky that I had on my mirror. Every morning I looked at it. It was on my dresser, on my mirror, and it said, I am happy. I am healthy. I am wise. I am wealthy. And I would actually say it in all of the different configurations. If I felt like at some point I was feeling lack of something, whether it was wealth or health or whatever, I would then put that one to the top. And I would rearrange them accordingly. But I'm healthy, I'm happy, I'm wise, I'm wealthy. And I was always grateful. And I always felt the gratitude, and I would say thank you. And if I had a bill that I feel like I couldn't pay that day, I would say, thank you, Bill, because you've come into my life so that I can create the abundance to take care of this. And it was an accountability, a responsibility, and an understanding of this natural, abundant, creative universe that we live in, that we are a part of, that we are. So you are...
You understand exactly where I'm at right now.
I do. I am my work from the bottom up and inside out, and you are making it. You are doing it. So just keep going. And I got to say, it's when you get to the top of that mountain, that's the hardest, and you're at the top of the mountain. And it's that final step or two that you need to take. And when you get that beautiful view across that vista, it's a neat space to be in. And you're so close. You're there. So keep going.
The people who I want to share this space with, my spouse, my children, my grandchild, my immediate nucleus family, they really don't understand it. When they don't even really, no one really understands the, the law of attraction. You know, no one understands.
That's okay. That is their journey. You have yours. And they are fractals of light in your rainbow and your rainbow of color. And allow them to hold the light frequency that they choose. That's their journey. As you cannot change anyone else but yourself. And once you begin to change the way you look at things, the things you look at will change. So by you focusing on yourself, working with your own picture, your own space, your own frequency and vibration, you then emanate to the world around you that will then radiate back to you, the same that you're putting out. And you will actually help to heal your ancestral lines, which you are doing. Your ancestral lines, you are completing the cycle that you came here to do. So, well done. And thank you, because you doing that actually helps the collective.
Okay. And I wanted to do that.
We are actually at the top of the hour. It's the final section for wrapping up. And thanks for calling in.
Thank you. I appreciate it so much. Love and light.
Yes, love and light. Thank you, Jackie. All right. Thank you, Nicole. Okay. So wrapping it up, if you did not get, if you had some questions that you did not get answered, I'm happy to work with you. And my fun announcement, let me get back to my notes here. My fun announcement is that because of abundance, you know, one of the things that I wanted to say quickly, and I'll end on this, is that we are more abundant that we think of, and the energies and information that we have in the world around us that's coming into play is more of a, well, it's abundant in nature. So what can you give back to the world around you? What excess can you assist others with, whether it's vegetables, whether it is, you know, just assisting someone with an errand or something like that? What can you give back to not only your community, your environment, whatever that looks like for you? What do you have that's abundant that you can then support the collective And that's really where we are. And there are energies supporting us in coming back to more of a local format, whether it is shopping, goods and services, that kind of thing. You know, there is still energy promoting things like online stuff. So, for instance, News for the Soul being in this platform is very Aquarian energy. It's very air energy. And so my giving back, and this is something that was definitely given to me by my guides, but I am choosing to give 5 sessions, and you will need to use the code ABUNDANCE at checkout in order to do that. But there are 5 sessions available, and you can pick the time of your choice. If you do not see a time there that works for you, send me a note, email me, and we will adjust it to a time that fits your space, and we will work on it. I know there's time zone issues, et cetera, but we will get that sorted. So 5 sessions are available with the code ABUNDANCE, and I do ask that it's 1 session per individual if you would like to then sign up for a session. So please keep that in mind. And then I also have some upcoming stuff that you'll want to be in the members gateway. And so you can become a member on my website at brendadavismatt.com. And I do have some upcoming stuff that I will be putting out to those people in the members community. So keep that in mind. And then also, if you need to reach out to me, my email is info@brendadavismatt.com. You can also go to my website again, brendadavismatt.com, to connect with me that way, if that's easier. I am such gratitude for each and every one of you joining this energy and information tonight. And just to let you know, if I am delayed in responding to anyone, I apologize. I am heading off on another pack trip. I will be guiding another pack trip. And I'll be gone from, the 16th through the 21st, I believe. So give or take around that time, and heading back into beautiful Teton Wilderness. So anyway, on that note, I am sending each and every one of you love and light. And thank you again for joining me this evening. And much love to each and every one of you on your journey. Bye for now.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
I mean, that was weird. I don't think about Art Bell every day.
Well, wait. I passed at 10:30 in the morning, so you don't ever know.
It was in the afternoon. When he popped in here, it was mid-afternoon.
Well, then he wasn't alive then.
Right.
So, you know, here's Art. He punched in on the chat room on the day he died. I said, well, that doesn't really mean that he was really alive.
You know, I was thinking that of all the people out there who would find a way to...
Oh, he'll do it. He'll come back. He'll do it. He'll find a way. He said, let's go get the mail. And he had bought him a Grand Am Trans Am, 400 horsepower, okay, 4-speed, when it was brand new. And we went and got the mail at 142 miles an hour. Okay, and that was that joy. Art was about art. Art's ability to openly, consciously explore realities based on the credibility of the research he had done on the person that's on the air. This is how he was. There was no casualness about it. He was ready. And he He was worried about this drought he had seen and that people were going through. And he went on the radio and he decided that he was going to try to use the power of prayer, because it had been something we had talked about and you know, what were those possibilities? Because we would talk about it. He'd hear a show that he thought was important, and there was me. There was to me and another two other people that he would talk to about it. And so he decided he was going to get all of the Coast to Coast people, probably 15 million people that would listen to the show, so 13 million people that would listen to the show. And so Art set up prayer. He set up a prayer for rain, and it started raining the next day.
I remember.
And it rained like for 5 or 6 days, okay? That was my favorite one, because all of a sudden I was calling him Art God. But he had nowhere to go, Nicole.
I remember that consciousness experiment with the drought, and it was interesting how he explored that afterwards, because he became afraid that it wasn't supposed
to. It scared the crap out of him.
I know.
It scared the crap out of him. I had to listen to it for like a week, you know, and he has to come off his high horse. I was in such pain in that brain surgery thing in 97. Nicole, you know, that was like, oh, my God, when I blew my brain out in subdural hematomas and I was crushing. Art got people to pray for me, and I never knew this until later. I never knew this till later. But at about 2 o'clock one morning, or like 3 o'clock one morning, and when I couldn't take it anymore, the room cleared. This is in the hospital bed. The room cleared. There was no noise or any of that. And knowing that I thought I was going to die from it, the brain surgery, because you'd have to do open heart surgery and brain surgery at the same time, and there was no way I could make it through it. So Art got people to pray, and I know the moments because I could organize my life. I could get away from the pain, and I could organize my life. And that went on for like 3 or 4 hours before it all came back, the pain came back. And it was at the exact same time that Art had gone on the air.
Welcome to News for the Soul's 20th anniversary broadcast series. News for the Soul, the longest running spiritual empowerment and exploration broadcast in North America, started its 21st year in January 2018, and we're just getting warmed up. It's time to take it to the next level, exploring the edge of human consciousness and possibility on planet Earth in our 21st year with founder and journalist Nicole Marie Whitney at the helm. What's really real and what's really possible? That is what we want to know. So if you're ready to find out together, get ready for life-changing talk radio, from the uplifting to the unexplained, Platinum Edition. Here is News for the Soul.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
And we are live. It is Saturday, April 21st, 2018, and very, very special guest with me today, my original co-host in the first 2 years of being on air radio, transitioning out of positive news, newspapers, etc., the one and only Danyon Brinkley. We're going to get him started in a moment. I'm just going to remind you, first of all, Danyon, Saved by the Light, At Peace and Light, Secrets of the Light. It's been a while since I've talked to him, so there may be more titles after that. Danyon.com is his website if you're unfamiliar with Danyon, which I know many of you are not. Recently, Friday the 13th, last week, April 13th, 2018, the unexpected and somewhat surprising passing of Art Bell. We're here to honor his legacy in paranormal radio and remember him. Danyon was a regular on his show for many years and a good friend. So we're going to bring Danyon on and catch up with him and talk about the life-changing legacy of the Art Bell radio career. Danyon, welcome back.
Well, it's certainly an absolute pleasure to be back with you, Nicole.
Oh, I've missed you. I've thought about you often. How are you doing?
Come on. And me too. And thinking about in the early days, I was just reminiscing about those early days and just how far you've brought people's consciousness. So it has a lot to do with, like, art. Art was in trouble. And when he had come to a place where they called it COPD, but it, you know, if you smoke cigarettes for 40 years, mm-hmm. and it was like a trademark of his, and so yeah. That's what finally ended it. But when I talked to him about 3 weeks, Nicole, before this happened, because Art and I stayed friends, I was the first person to prove to Art Bell that people could read other people's minds. And, wow. I mean, that was one of his shows, you know, and it was like all of a sudden a reality shifted in his consciousness that the stuff he was listening to on the radio, there were possibilities that some of that stuff could be true. And so when I was talking to him, he was in more pain. You could hear it. And as it got closer, you know, it just got to be too much for him. Yeah. Every breath was a pain. So wherever Art is today, wherever he is in that vast cosmic range of knowledge and love and divinity that exists and permeates our existence, Art knows the answers to everything that was unexplained. Of all those people he listened to and all those things that's gone on through his life and what Coast to Coast became, then Art has the privilege of knowing the answers to every one of those questions that we all sought by listening to his radio show. And he is not in pain. I mean,
I was just going to share with you, Danyon, that on Friday the 13th, the day he passed, he actually popped into my consciousness unexpectedly. And I found out later that was the day he passed. So I know that we were meant to do this tribute show today.
Yeah, he might not have. He might have popped in on that and wasn't even here. See, this is the fun part about Art. Think about it, Nicole. Art knows it all, and Art was brilliant. He was as great a radio personality as ever. I mean, his skill set and his ability to listen and to take apart and dissect the conversation, because he never believed anything. And that's what made him. He kept that moniker as he explored, and he would go with it. If you're Satan, call me. You know, I can remember that show. You know, the devil, and he would have fundamentalists on. He'd have a bunch of fundamentalists on, Nicole, and then he would get a bunch of swamis, and he would just start and stir it up.
If you were a time traveler from the future, if you're interdimensional, I remember.
Yeah, or if you're just crazy, okay? I mean, it was so good, and he had these little perks about him. Most people, he was a pool shark. I mean, he could shoot serious pool. Serious, okay? And he was a practical joker. And people never saw that personality, you know, that place where it was just Art Bell. And as a human being, he was wonderful. And why me? Art and I became really fast friends because I gave him a way to look at stuff people were talking about, Nicole. Just like in our early days, I would listen, but I've been dead. And I understand from a different point of view. When I look at stuff, I look at it completely different. And Art would watch me do that. And he would explore stuff and what I thought about it. You know, not that it was right or wrong. It's just what my opinion of it was as I would look at it. And he was so funny, you know, and as the years would pass, we would talk about issues and global and prophecy and, you know, the things that were unfolding. Because when Mona passed, and Mona was his soul, you know, she was that place that had changed him into who and what Coast to Coast became. Behind every great man, there's a great woman. And she was the perfect blend for him. And he was watching the changes because he had a really good mind, and he did his homework. He called his own guest. Think of parallel of someone that I'm on the phone with right now that is the same. You know, think of Nicole. If when you look at the people who felt and saw the truth and they've evolved – They've evolved in a course of action of multiple possible realities that we as dynamic spiritual beings living in this dimensional reality, practicing being gods. This is the place where you come to practice be a god, and you have a right to form an opinion of it, even if it wasn't true. Okay, that's the freedom of this dimension, because in the other dimensional realities, based on the restrictions that apply to enter that reality, then the fact of whether it was right or wrong is not an issue. What exactly happens based on the divine law and the cursive law, whatever happens, these are the rules by which it operates by, and you don't have that fact that you can be wrong and think you're right. You know?
When did you first meet Art, or when was the first time you talked to him?
All right, so Art was going from politics. He was a good political analysis. He was really good at that, and he was transitioning into from talk radio politics, like you know, Hannity shows, and he started looking at all the issues that people, that's going on around us and that no one talked about. So I think I was on Art's show. It had to be 94.
Wow.
It had to be 94, and I probably did the show four or five times a year, you know. And Art and I started the Veterans Day annual report. That was 19 years ago. I created the Twilight Brigade, and from the Twilight Brigade, Art was a veteran, you know, NAM era veteran. And so you have that commonality in that conversation. And so we started looking at what was going on in the health care of the veterans in the United States. And we made an annual report every year. Like I did the 20th one, November the 11th. And so death was big. This is the early 90s. You know, death was big. Raymond was I guess the nations got scared and or something was happening, because that's when death becomes an issue. Terrorism, all those things become issues in psychologies, and Art explored that. So I not only had gone through it, and I was like Captain Dead in those times, and Art and I would get into conversations, and I was not radical in my belief system about the nature of the near-death experience, and I had already been through like two of them. And Art and I got to be so good of friends that by 1997, when I had to have brain surgery, and my dad was on the phone with Raymond, and they said that, you know, the surgery would get me, or I was going to die I was going to be in so much pain that no telling what I would do. And so they have to have open heart surgery and brain surgery. And Ramona and Art flew to Charleston, South Carolina. And through those critical days, he did his radio show literally, not literally from the room, but from the radio station just down the street. And that's how good of friends that we evolved into, because spirituality is not an elusive subject to me. You know, the nature of the spirituality of who we are as spiritual beings operating in this framework, it's not like I'm on some fervent mission. I mean, I know what happened and how, and he would say I was the most spiritual person he ever met, but I was still an asshole. Well, that was Art's descriptions. That was Art's descriptions of me. But
is who you're referring to as Raymond, correct?
Say that again.
Dr. Raymond Moody is who you're referring to as Raymond, correct?
Yeah, Dr. Raymond Moody. I
was just going to ask you, I remember he always used to say to callers when they would call in and wanting to connect with their loved ones that had passed, he always used to talk about lighting a candle and then remembering and talking about your favorite moments with them. That would be really awesome to do that today.
Well, if you want them to come back and visit you, you know, I know how much fun Art is having. And I know he's staying close. He's not going to let go. He will not let go. And this is me theorizing. It's not something I know as a fact about Raymond. But knowing Raymond and knowing those dimensional levels of consciousness, which, like, you know, Nicole, I don't think there's many people who know more about those levels, as early four or five levels, than me. You know, I study it, so I know what Raymond's doing. And he has a 11-year-old and a 2-year-old, and he was 72. And what you were talking about was that he punched in on the chat room on the day he died. I said, "Well, that doesn't really mean that he was really alive."
You know, I was thinking that of all the people out there who would find a way to.
Oh, he'll do it. He'll come back. He'll do it. He'll find a way. I have a little doubt about it. I mean,
on the day of. I mean, that was weird. I don't think about Art Bell every day.
I passed at 10:30 in the morning, so you don't ever know.
It was when he popped in here. It was mid-afternoon.
Then he wasn't alive then.
Right.
So, you know, here's Art. But this is me understanding Art, Nicole. He knows and heard it all. You know, all that stuff that we all anticipate and stuff. And I'm not sad because I knew the pain he was in, and I know the way home. And I wasn't sad. I went to the funeral, you know, because they wanted to keep it closed, and they blocked the media and all that stuff. But I went to the funeral, and I surveyed and looked to see how it could be of service to Aaron, you know, and anybody else that could talk to. And Whitley spoke, and then mm-hmm. I told this story about Art. When Art went through a crisis about his son, I knew about it, you know, and I knew about it intuitively, and I came to see Art and that kind of friendship because I not only could sense and knew so much more about it than anybody was saying, it was amazing to him, but it was a place where Art could settle in and understand that there is a very patterned nature of the spiritual dimensions or the ethereal dimensions or the quantum dimensions that they exist. So I would say that Art would sense, once he lifted out, he would sense and feel that range, and he would be able to slow his frequency down because he understands radios. He's a shortwave man. He built his own systems, so he would understand the dynamics of the science of the art form, where you slow your frequency down, you set a certain harmonic. And then that harmonic is how you dimensionally move while you do certain, that's what, breath exercises and all that. And he would know that. So he would find a way. But where Art was at, where he was, is he was being a dad because he felt like he'd blown it so much in the early years about going with his other kids because it was the nature of Art to be able to communicate worldwide and to explore using shortwave radio. Ham operator. So he would understand frequency dynamics and he would understand those kinds of stuff to move. But in the early moments, and even if you are leaving a beautiful wife and someone that's been great for him and him great for her, and a couple of little kids and the comfort of where he was in his life, he would be focused on that more than he would be focused on trying to communicate with any of us. But I have no doubt that Art Bell will be heard from again.
What are your favorite memories of, well, let's say on the air, being on the air with Art?
Well, let me tell you one of my favorite memories of Art off the air.
Okay.
Okay, so I come up, he calls me and he says he wants to come up. I said, okay. So I came up and we were talking and, you know, the things that had come on, because if you knew Art Bell, you had to watch Somewhere in Time so he could look at Jane Seymour, and he loved the plot of Somewhere in Time. And if you knew Art Bell, you always had to go to that Montauk place in Michigan, okay, where it was filmed, and that was it. I mean, but... I came up and he had gotten him. I mean, we come up in the same time, the muscle cars, you know, the stuff that old guys can talk about. And he said, let's go get the mail. And he had bought him a Grand Am Trans Am, 400 horsepower, okay, 4-speed, when it was brand new. And we went and got the mail at 142 miles an hour. Okay, and that was that joy, you know. This is the relationship, is two guys growing up in the 50s and the 60s, you know, growing up in that time frame, and that was a joy. The best one on the radio, because people used to laugh, because art was about art. Art's ability to openly, consciously explore realities based on the credibility of the research he had done on the person that's on the air. This is how he was. There was no casualness about it. He was ready. And he was worried. He was worried about this drought he had seen and that people were going through. And he went on the radio and he decided that he was going to try to use the power of prayer, because it had been something we had talked about you know, what were those possibilities? Because we would talk about it. He'd hear a show that he thought was important, and there was me. There was to me and another two other people that he would talk to about it. And so he decided he was going to get all of the Coast to Coast people. There's probably 15 million people that would listen to the show, so 13 million people that would listen to the show. And so Art set up prayer. He set up a prayer for rain, and it started raining the next day.
I remember.
And it rained like for 5 or 6 days, okay? That was my favorite one, because all of a sudden I was calling him Art God. But he had nowhere to go, Nicole, about the reality of the power of the nature of the combination of divine people, people coming together for a good reason or people coming together for a bad. That energy was there, and that energy operates there, and he had a way to see it in his own life. Well, that's a guy just maturing in the divine way and watching what he's hearing being true when he applied it. He never did it again, except when I was in such pain in that brain surgery thing in 97. Nicole, you know, that was like, oh, my God. When I blew my brain out and subdural hematomas and I was crushing, Art got people to pray for me, and I never knew this until later. But at about 2 o'clock one morning, or like 3 o'clock one morning, and when I couldn't take it anymore, the room cleared. This is in the hospital bed. The room cleared. There was no noise or any of that. And knowing that I thought I was going to die from it, the brain surgery, because you'd have to do open heart surgery and brain surgery at the same time, and there was no way I could make it through it. So Art got people to pray, and I know the moments because I could organize my life. I could get away from the pain, and I could organize my life. And that went on for like 3 or 4 hours before it all came back, the pain came back. And it was at the exact same time that Art had gone on the air, you know, and when he talked to my dad, and they, you know, I wasn't going to make it. And so he came. And then I told that story. And I didn't know that Art had done that. Now, I didn't know. It was just another moment in phenomena. You know how I am about phenomena that reinforces that what I believe about how great and wonderful we all are is reinforced. And this is the things that watching Art, like where he would be right now, he would be paying attention to Aaron and the kids, and he would focus that energy surrounding them more than he would be intellectually searching for a way to get back here. But he'll be back. But I'll tell you some of the funniest ones. He had the devil call in, and I think Art kind of knew who this guy was, you know, not because he'd heard him on other shows, because Art was a lot about letting people ask questions. You know, he would do the show, and then it would be call-ins, and it'd be truckers, people out in the world working all night at Sears, and people working all night, the people of the night, and bars, you know, all across America and all across the world, and that was just Art, and the night brings that kind of comfort to explore those kinds of things, and Art saw it. He saw it as a way to put information out there that's truly out there from him being, you know, not a crank, and to see that it's out there and to make it happen.
I remember that consciousness experiment with the Joe, and it was interesting how he explored that afterwards, because he became afraid that it wasn't supposed to be.
It scared the crap out of him.
I know.
It scared the crap out of him. I had to listen to it for like a week, you know, and he, you know, he has to come off his high horse. He's wonderful. Now, remember, as grand a human being as you want to meet, you know, and went through some tough situations in a coming up of it, coming up and going from just being a radio jock, swinging wax. I mean, he was he opened up a radio station with like a 10-mile radius up in Pahrump, and all he played was oldies but goodies. He programmed it, and this was where he first started out, and he had his own radio station, and he ran his radio station. And he played oldies, just where he started. And then he evolved into news because he has a smart, brilliant perspective. And then he evolved into paranormal, and he loved the night. You know, he's like a lot of us. A lot of us love the night. And then people are working. And he saw from the conversations of people calling in that some of these people were just as crazy as hell. And then some of them were brilliant, who had understood and looked at it and thought it through, and it was logical, especially first observers. Art could tell the difference between somebody who really did it happen to and who was just telling a story.
Yeah.
He was really good at it. And the other thing too, Nicole, brilliant. He could control the movement of the thought pattern of his audience with uh-huhs and two words to change the tempo and the perspective, because he knew when the person would be moving from putting out information or repeating their standard stick. No matter who you are, you know, Art could hear, and he could listen to see when it was going into a direction or changing. You know, he could just tell when it was going to get ready just to become some rhetoric.
It's amazing.
Do you know how people do, Nicole? And you, look at you. I celebrate Art Bell because he was my friend, and we became friends because I had a different viewpoint about what all the stuff. I didn't know too much about UFOs, except, you know, I mean, I wasn't a big UFO person, and he was, and I wasn't a big going to Mars. You know, I don't care about any of that, and I wasn't off on those tangents, and I had a viewpoint about how it all worked and what it looked like, and a couple of other guys. It's not just me. I mean, but this is my personal life with Art Bell, and we were friends, and he was a practical joker. So what was I going to tell you? So in the same place where Art created and brought the things that people talk about, it came out from, it's not in the Inquirer anymore. Look at it, where Art's career took him. It took him from when it was total conspiracy, extraterrestrials, interdimensional reality, Area 51, the devil. I mean, everything that people thought about, life after death, you know, quantum theoretical mechanics is applied. Like, he used to have his regular people that he would go to about stuff, Michio Kaku. He would have regular people that he would go to, Hoagland about Mars and Stanton Freeman. And Art booked his own shows, Nicole, so I'm comparing you to Art Bell. I mean, you, and take this as, you know, and I wouldn't say it if it wasn't true. I mean, I've known you since you were a little girl. And Art booked his own people,
yeah.
Even when it went syndicated, when it went to 530 stations, okay, and then it was bounced. He would send it out by shortwave so people anywhere in the world that was a ham operator could get his show. I mean, and he created that movement. Think about it. And look at where you are. Come on, you held on to that dream, and I was there when you were dreaming it, and you held on to the dream, and look what you're doing.
You were there 20 years ago.
No, you was a little girl with two beautiful children, and you had a dream, and the world was moving from paper, and people didn't want to read. They wanted to watch and hear. You know, people do not want to read. I mean, it's a characteristic of people who are studying or a certain personality. But people have evolved.
Yeah.
They don't want to read it. They want to read it, but they want to hear it. They want to feel the story. What people haven't observed in the last 25 years, I'd say the last since 2012, but the 30 years span right in here. The evolution of consciousness, you can see it came digitally. Art foresaw all this. I mean, he was a ham operator. He was at 13. He built his own set that was communicating worldwide, and he was talking to people all over the world. But he saw that the medium of radio and how it was going to be. And so people want to participate. People want to hear that person's voice. They want to participate in it and interact in it. And this was art's model. Well, it's you too. I remember these are the art is inspirational to you because look at who you are. You're pioneering a level of consciousness that through the years of with art, be it on the radio, he saw things come true, things that he saw that people were talking about and saying, especially Hoagland, you know, Richard and Mars and what were the big UFO stuff now. Okay, because, you know, those things like where Corey Good is and where and Wilcox, where David is, and looking at that part. Art would have loved this. Art would have loved it.
That's what I loved about him is the authentic journey of seeking that he seems to be on, as opposed to, like you say, having a belief system and limited viewpoint. You know, I was riveted because he just seemed to be really just wanting to know what was real. And you heard from our new intro, that's really been my thing too, is what's really real and what's really possible. But we had a different approach, obviously. But you
had the feminine nature, and you're not, I've only seen you mad twice. And you know, oh God. But you know how I am. I just love it. You know, if it's not my fault, I just love it. But I'm proud. I mean, I'm proud, and Art would be proud. Here's what Art was doing, because Art, when everybody, people don't pay much attention to the December the 21st, 2012, and the Mayan calendar. You know that. You know, the only people who thought the end of time was coming and at the end of the Maya calendar was white people. Nobody else thought that. You know, it's just some hoodoo because the Mayan calendar counts backwards. It's cyclic. It goes backwards. So Art knew from this is another conversation he and I had, but he had it with a couple other people. But you know, I'm a big Maya junkie. You know how you know that? I mean, I have seen every ruin of every Mayan. I'm a pre-classic guy. But these guys had it going on, okay? So since December 21st, 2012, as we moved into the what's now called the universal period, that there would be no secrets, okay? Art knew this, so he created this little radio show, and he groomed this little girl, Heather, this little young girl, and she was carrying the weight of Art's show on her shoulder. And Art had he produced his little show. He ran it out of his radio station. And here's what Art was trying to get her to do in the last 3 months. In all that pain of breathing, right? I mean, he's got to put oxygen on. He's got, you know, you can't smoke cigarettes for 40 years and not have a few problems. Mm-hmm. And he wanted her to go on Area 54 and broadcast live. And he would set up the remote at the station because, you know, Groom Lake is just down the street. And she said, Art, I could get put in jail. He said, I'll come bail you out. Now, this is Art. He sees the power of women in the calendar. And if you pay attention to it, usually when a new period begins, and this is from their sacred book, the Puma Val, and it says that the first 52 years, that's how tight they had it, or close to that, would be about the matriarchal power, the rise of the feminine. And when you hear all that, and you know, I've been studying them since the 60s, when you hear all that and then you see the rise of the feminine and the Me Too movement and Harvey Weinstein and Hillary getting to be a legitimate runner for president and the power of women in politics and the power of women in industry and now the protective value that comes with harassment of what so many women go through in life, you know, that there are predators and people who abuse that kind of power and control, okay, that shows itself too. But we're in that period of of women, and he didn't want another guy. And the other thing that Art told me, he said, Daniel, new kids discover old stuff, It becomes amazing to them what I heard about and what we've talked about and what me and he had his little his circle of friends and what we talked about. I see it unfolding. So here's Art. Art lived on the radio every night to see a transition from maybe it was a possibility or you were crazy to believe that there was extraterrestrials. So here's another fun night with Art. Am I boring? Is this boring?
Art was never boring. You have never been boring a day in your life. You mentioned earlier about getting mad, and I was remembering that one time when he was setting up something with Kreskin. Do you remember that whole fiasco?
Oh, yeah.
What was that about?
Yeah, I went to it. Kreskin, he was mad about it, and Art saw that what Kreskin was going to do was to reinvent himself.
He had originally predicted there was going to be spaceships landing and everyone went out to film and broadcast live, right?
10,000 people.
Oh,
Kreskin went on the show. And he was telling this because he was coming to do a show in Vegas, you know, and to make Vegas and to play Vegas, you know, that was it. And maybe to get a show here, you know, to do a show. And so what he was doing was he was using, not hysteria, but he was using based on his program, you know, the Mentalist.
Yes.
That he was going to draw in extraterrestrial beings. But what he knows is in group consciousness, you know, the worst observer is a first-hand observer. You know, when you review witnesses, the person who was there, as they have the four people have three completely different views of the same event, the eyewitness, okay? Because, and so he knew that he could create people seeing things like planets moving or UFOs or spaceships, and people are going to see it. You know, people are going to buy into it, or if they had a couple of beers in them when they came. So Kat and I drove back, and we went to it, and we were supportive of it because I have seen him do, I know it's Mentalist, but I know that it's become to a point in Kreskin, it had come to a point where he and the art or the trick or the he and the art had become really synonymous. I mean, he was capable of doing things at the time, not out of repetition and routine, but that he had discovered a methodology that made him more accurate. So he was going to create this as a reason for people who saw something and people who didn't. But he could reinvent himself from picking out numbers and names and phone books and pages in phone books. He could reinvent himself knowing that the extraterrestrial movement was going to, you know, there's too much noise out there about it for it not to be the next movement. So Art saw that. And
really
so Art... Well, Art wanted it to be true.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, a UFO, Art can deal with a UFO better than it can deal with ghost busting. You know, his scientific mind could deal with it, so he wanted it to be true. And it was a letdown. I mean, I called Art from there, you know, and I told him exactly what it was. And I don't like to talk bad about people, Nicole, except maybe if it was Neil Donald Walsh.
Yes, that was fun.
It was fun to hear you. Listen, it was just fun to hear you. It was just fun to hear you laugh.
That's how I learned how to survive on the air and manage the energy. It was an excellent training session for me.
You were brilliant. Let me ask you something. Where's this soul to soul going? Where do you go? Because Art got him on the radio. Art blistered him. When he got Kreskin on the radio.
Yeah, I remember there was some huge fallout after he really called him on it. But that's where, again, it was like an authentic quest that he was on, as opposed to just, you know, talking out. You know, there's a lot of ego on the air and a lot of superficial stuff. And he just seemed to not, like you said, he was more independent. He was more authentic.
Yeah, and Art was, Art is just as arrogant as any human being can be. I think I'm a narcissist until I got around Art. Well, but it was Art's personality, though, Nicole, and his personality was he was really smart. So he's a smart guy, and he could as a broadcaster, he could control the input of the information from the guest, because you could listen to the questions, you know, and you know which period of time through the night what questions, because I'd be on Art's show, you know, we'd do 4 hours, and you know, because it'd be different subjects, or if somebody had passed, and you could look at the different viewpoints of how they would do it, and I'm authentic, and you know, I have the same, my stories are the same, and my viewpoints of certain aspects of it have evolved, but the same thing for all of the people who listened to Coast in the early 90s. Look at, and I want to tell you one more really funny show. Still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, Art, the big thing for the Catholic Church back in the day was that the head of the exorcist of the Catholic Church, the chief exorcist, he went on Italian radio, this is Art, he went on Italian radio saying that if you believed and saw UFOs, then you were possessed by a demon and you needed to have an exorcism.
Oh, my God.
And then, wait, now it's even better. And then Art found some cross-reference to exorcisms that it is increased by 700%. There'd been a 700%. This had to be maybe turn of the century. Isn't it great that you and I can say that we had the turn of the century back in the last century? All right. And in the turn of the century, there was so much. There was Travis Walton. There was Whitley Strieber. And there were so many people. John Mack had discovered people who were, he did a brilliant paper on abductions, an abduction comparison to abused children. And so many things that came about within the study of abductions that were found also seated in child abuse. This was Dr. John Mack at Harvard University. So Art was trying to get an interpreter so he could get to this exorcist to see if the 700% increase had been more people thinking they had been abducted by UFOs and going to confession. Watch how smart this is, Art. Now, and this is the way Art. This is what I think. What made me love him and appreciate him, because he's thinking it through. Okay, and so when he would start to look at it, I mean, he knew something was afoot, and it was good news. It was a story. You know, you always had to have a drama. And Art's show was dramatic. It would create drama, but it was Art's style of broadcasting. And then came the day, okay, he called me. Then came the day the same guy went on national Italian television and said that if you saw a UFO or you were abducted by a UFO, you were no longer considered possessed. You would no longer be considered possessed, and that not only are there extraterrestrial beings, he's had the pleasure of being in contact with them, and the church is looking forward to teaching them about Jesus Christ. That's like a 10-year period, though, Nicole.
Yeah.
This is an evolution of something over a 10-year period that Art drove. A lot of the things about UFOs and interdimensional realities and all of that stuff, and quantum and CERN, all that stuff, Art had a chance to witness the evolution of it and hearing about it from scientists, because everybody in the world would go on Art Bell's show, because not only Art had called them, even with Premiere, Art booked his own. He booked his own people. So think about watching that, being aware of it, 700% increase, and now how much is out there that 11 countries have reduced their UFO information, and Buzz Aldrin, he passed a lie detector test based on his belief and proof that he had seen alien spacecraft. And then one of the guys took a lie detector test about an encounter with a being. You know, he was describing it like an angel, but having an encounter with a being in the bin of the space shuttle. So where are you going to go?
What other groundbreaking moments did Art Bell create on his radio legacy?
Oh, man, he brought near-death experience to mainstream. He brought the whole UFO, Area 51, Roswell spacecraft, and cults. I mean, the fact that there are secret societies, quote-unquote, and that they operate using certain esoteric or ethereal laws that operate, and that they are aware of them. Some of them are subtle, like easy spell casting. Some of those are subtle. And then some of those collectively equal to rain, that Art himself showed the massive power of the consciousness of the people of the night on coast-to-coast radio, that they could channel and make a difference. And that scared Art. He never did it again, Nicole.
I know.
He never did it again. And if it was me and you, think about it. When you were bending spoons and you were putting people to practice to put this together, because without adding that to the show, like a 4-minute segment for us to focus on something, you know, or a 3-minute segment or a slight small guided imagery that we collectively direct our attentions and focus, you know, you have a show and you go through the points, get the guest, have that show back and forth, and then at the end to take the knowledge and information and formulate it into a focused 1-minute attention span, and you condition your audience to do that. And I pushed Art hard, you know, and then after 97, when I found out this, it was like 3 weeks before I knew that Art had done it. No, it's like 2 weeks before I knew I had done it, because I wasn't interested in what anybody was thinking or what those conversations were, because the kind of pain I was dealing with and that grand mal seizure that I had before the surgery, that's all I could think about then. But once I have no problems about when Art turned to the people of the night and turned them to help me. You know, that helped me. I not only was aware of it, I could see it, and I know what I used it for. So take each show at the end of the show, and I was trying to evolve him to this with Heather, the little girl is trying to fill Art's shoes. Glad it's not you.
You know, that's one question I have, is that there's got to be somewhere where someone's archived all of this amazing radio. Is there somewhere that you know of where people can access the archives of Art Bell?
Yeah, they're doing it now. I mean, I think it comes off of George Norrie. I think it comes off of Coast to Coast, because it was always his Somewhere in Time. And all shows in the transition place from Art to George, I mean, there was a lot of, like, unstableness.
Yeah.
You know, Art, you know, it was time. But Art didn't want to quit, and you can't quit. It's like you love what you do, because you're bringing hearts together, bringing minds together, empowering people. I remember all of those little things that as you were growing and going through what you were doing, that you were really putting out as a part of trying to prove. Okay, here's another one of the best ones, Art all time. It was one about reverse speech.
Yeah.
Okay, and Art was cooking with this reverse speech, because he could play it back and forth. He had a studio with everything in the world, communications worldwide, built at his home in Pahrump. So he could communicate worldwide, digitally, anyway, as the equipment evolved. He built his own radio station. This is the Art, the mind, and the solderer. He built his own radio station. You know, he built the tower, the transmitters. He did all of that. And so when it got to reverse speech, he loved it. I told him that I was on the Cole Whitney. I said, all right, I was on the Cole Whitney, and they weren't going to do reverse speech. And I said, we did reverse speech on me, and it was all the thing it was about was sex.
Remember that?
And he said, Danion, you're talking about sex the whole time.
See the joy
of that, Nicole, but watch, listening to you laugh. That I can take a celebration of Art Bell and I get a chance to talk to you, and watching that you are the same. I mean, you have that kind of drive to create and make the world a better place. And everybody who listens or who doesn't listen, everybody who listens should tell at least three other people who don't listen to listen, because, you know, I was there from the very beginning. Damn, I'm old, Nicole.
And you're also doing the same thing, relieving the fear around death for people and doing the hospice work. How's that going?
The Twilight Brigade, you know, became one of the largest end-of-life care volunteer programs in the history of America. I've been in the same offices in the West Los Angeles VA, the largest hospital in the VA system, for 21 years. I've been a hospice volunteer with an office in the VA for 21 years. And the Twilight Brigade is considered equal or superior, and the training is equal or superior to anything that our Veterans Administration has, and it's been recognized as that. You know, I've been an Oprah Outstanding Charity. I mean, you know, and I grew complementary and alternative integrative therapies quietly within the system. It's changing now. I mean, I'm changing the Twilight Brigade's mission. Now is the time, based on the boxes of knowledge. You know, look, we have military on the border in Mexico, and on the border of Mexico, and we have Salvadorians and Hondurians crossing the border. Okay, well, if you read Chapter 5 in Saved by the Light, I said it just exactly like that. This is what the probable possibilities of the predictions of the future. Okay, and these are the things that would come about. Art was big into that stuff, you know, because he could run it by me. I wrote it down in 1976. But you know what, Nicole, I never thought that stuff. I always remember I used to laugh and call that Nostradanian. Well, because it was just a part in my life that I never saw it as prophecy. I don't see it as prophecy now. What I see it as is that the ethereal or the dimensional spiritual world sees the probable possibilities, like nothing was carved in stone. And Danion, these are the markers. Those were the milestones that I would watch for. And when certain things happen, I would shift course. So I'm shifting course of the nature of the Twilight Brigade. I'm shifting its course, not because I want to or not, but because the time frame of the events that are going to occur in the next couple of years, especially the 2020-2021, then these are going to be dramatic changes. The structure of the economic system, the fact that the world will stop, you know, it'll stop for a moment to catch its breath in economics, and the revitalization of where people are going to have to find something to do because of robotics. Look at the chip implants. See, when Art would look at this stuff, and he's researching every day, and he'd come across it, it'd be something else we would talk about, you know, those kinds of things. And with Richard, okay, and Sean David Morton, until Sean got a little too radical.
Yeah. You know what? Our hour has flown by, and you know what we've got to do?
I'm sorry.
This is so awesome to reconnect with you. It's been too long, but what we should do is schedule another show in a week or two and pick it up from here, because I want to catch up with you and find out about what you've been up to since I last talked to you as well.
No, I mean, it's rocking and rolling. Here it comes. Now the part in the Nostradamus about Jerusalem, here it comes. I mean, there was this is the big move. Now we wait to see when the Pope gets involved. Now where we're in war, when Iran is threatening Israel, Israel's threatening Syria, and at the same time of the border guards, there would be a structure that would be occurring now where the Pope would be making their move. You know, it's good against evil, but and I won't put it like that. It's just that some people have certain agendas and others have others' agendas. But I would look forward to it. You know the routine. You get a hold of Kat, you make it happen. And Nicole, I love Art Bell, and I know Art Bell is absorbing so much of what these conversations are. And I thank you for celebrating his life, and I thank you for allowing me to be one of those people who do, who gets that chance. Because and anything that I can do that helps you further you, you know I'm here to do that.
Oh, much love to you, Danny, and it's been so, so good to catch up. And I will email Catherine today, and we'll get you back on in a week or two and pick it up from here.
I look forward to it. So everybody, if you tell at least two people who don't listen to please listen to Nicole. And one more question. How are the girls?
They're well. They're grown up. Isn't that bizarre?
Okay. Would you please tell each of them that I said I love them?
I will. I will do that today. And I love you, Danny, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, bye, Nicole.
The one and only, Danny Brinkley. He'll be back very soon. So good and so right to be honoring the legacy of Art Bell. Most dramatically riveting, inspirational, brain-opening, conscious awakening radio of the 90s. We'll be back with more.
You're now tuned in to Nicole Whitney's News for the Soul highlights, life-changing spotlights she has shared with leading teachers in the human consciousness field since 1997. Go now to newsforthesoul.com to hear the full shows totally free. That's newsforthesoul.com.